Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Well, I told you, ladies and gentlemen, that today I would catch you up with what's going on with our situation. And that's what we're going to spend the whole hour doing. So take notes and listen carefully. I had to close the studio door so that you didn't have to listen to the air conditioner running full bore. Ladies and gentlemen, what I've got to tell you today is, in a way, a great relief to me, and in another way, it's a great sadness, because it tells me how far gone we are, and it's a shame that many of you, even after hearing this broadcast, are not going to understand it. You seem to think that everything is just fine and dandy. I hear people who, as little as 15 years ago or 10 years ago, we're doing pretty good. Didn't have any problem making a living, and everybody in the house didn't have to go to work to do it. But those same people now, everybody's working as hard as they can, barely making ends meet, and they hear Clinton tell them that the economy is just great, and they turn around and tell me that, oh, it's just wonderful. We're doing just greater than we've ever done before. And it's a lie. And they know it, and I know it. And I wonder why they're telling me that, because they know I know it. And, you know, it's things like that that just make me wonder how in the world people can rationalize their actions and the things they say in their own mind. It just doesn't make any sense. So hang on now, and I'm going to take you for a little ride. You see, Annie is my wife, have been targeted for imprisonment or extermination by the federal government and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith for documenting and sourcing the truth, ladies and gentlemen, about the tyranny and despotism of the Illuminati's coming socialist totalitarian New World Order. I call it the New World Odor because it really stinks. I'm not against world government, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all. I'm not against what is done properly and out in the open and truthfully, if that's what the American people really want. But what's happening is being brought about through lies, manipulation, subversion, and I could go on and on and on and on because it is absolutely incredible the depths of deception that are being played out in this little drama. Annie and I have worked feverishly. We have exhausted ourselves. We've exhausted our resources. We spent every penny that we've ever earned. We don't have nice furniture and things. You guys look up here on the hill, if you live in the Round Valley, and you think this is a wonderful house up here. Well, we have a wonderful view, but everything's falling apart. The furniture all has holes in it. Annie and I have had one vacation in about 10 years. And I know that some of you are in that same boat because you have to continually work just to keep food on the table. And I'm not complaining about it because I chose this, but I'm just telling you what we've been doing. We've been working hard since 1988, documenting and sourcing the facts of the treason that's being brought about by the socialist change agents in our government through the activities of secret societies and organizations such as the Subversive Anti-Defamation League. We have done things that people never believed we could do. I published a book that they said would never be printed. Actually, I didn't publish it. They said I could never find a publisher, and if I did, it would never be printed. And if it was printed, no store would ever carry it. Well, I wrote it. It was published by, of all people, a New Age publisher who wanted it just for the chapter on UFOs, not realizing that the book was an indictment on the New Age. And they're still publishing. And they're making a lot of money off my book.
and are keeping all of my royalties. I've made very little on that book, ladies and gentlemen, because they've just flat stolen the money from me. But I don't care. I just want them to keep printing it and selling it. I don't care because it's got to wake people up. And to go after them would mean the book will not be printed or sold anymore. So I can't do it. It's called Behold a Pale Horse. Some of you listening have read it. I got a radio broadcast. You're listening to it. Broadcast worldwide. Satellite, shortwave radio, over 700 low-power FM stations across the nation and around the world. A lot of big AM and FM stations are carrying this broadcast now. Many in foreign countries. And I get letters from almost every nation on earth. They said I couldn't do it. At one time when I was on WWCR, ladies and gentlemen, I had over 10 million documented listeners around the world. That's what we could document because it's so hard to document shortwave listenership. The estimation was somewhere around 25 or 30 million. It's way less than that now. I mean, way less than that because WRMI doesn't broadcast in the same direction, doesn't cover the all of the world as good as WWCR did. But it's still broadcasting worldwide, and people with good antennas and good sets are picking it up and listening to it. Fidel Castro listens to this broadcast. Whether you know it or not, it's the truth. And he doesn't like much of what I have to say, but he listens. Because if enough people listen to me, Fidel Castro's history, and he knows it. And so are the socialist change agents, scumbag, Nazi, jackbooted thugs in this country. Their history, if enough people listen to me and then go out and check what I have to say and make sure that it's true, they're going to wake up, they're going to be angry to learn what the truth is about what's happening in this country and around the world. I published a full-size, and still publish, a full-size national newspaper that's sent out all over the country by subscription and all over the world. It also goes to every single member of the House of Representatives and every single member of the United States Senate, the President, Vice President, all of the Cabinet members and heads of the major agencies in Washington, D.C., just to let them know that we know what's going on and we're not going to let them get away with it. I published a book called Oklahoma City Day One, written by Michelle Marie Moore, who at that time was a major in the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia. She worked for me. I was the director of the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia. We conducted an extensive investigation on the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, and what we discovered will leave you gasping for breath. Because what you have been told happened is not what happened at all. Now, we didn't just write this in a book and say, hey, this is what happened, guys. You know, we just want you to believe us. Nope, we named names. We documented every single fact that's printed in the book. And nothing was placed in the book unless it came from two completely different, credible sources who had nothing to do with each other and didn't know each other. It's an incredible work. We published it. Took a lot of money. And we're still very, very, very deep in the hole over that. In fact, it bankrupted Veritas because we took all the money that people had paid for subscriptions to Veritas to publish that book because it was that important. Then when we lost our staff for Veritas, it took us 2 years to get back to the point where we could continue publication of Veritas newspaper. Most people would have declared bankruptcy, would have taken the money and run. I could never do that to anyone. Never, under any circumstances. And anybody who called and asked for their money back was given a full refund with no problems whatsoever, and it was done immediately. Even if we had to borrow the money from friends, we did it. All those faithful subscribers who waited with us are now receiving their papers again. That's the kind of people we are. We're not bad people. We're not criminals. We're not great people either. We're just people, just like all of those of you listening. The only difference between us and you is we drew our line in the sand a long time ago and decided to take a stance and devote our lives to freedom. Come hell or high water, even if it meant we had to die in the process, and that could happen. You see, they picked on the wrong people, ladies and gentlemen, because we're not afraid. We're not going to run and hide. We will continue, always, until the day we die, to oppose evil whenever and wherever we find it. We will stand and fight whomever or whatever assault they may mount against us. I don't care what it is, or how much it is, or how many it is, or how long it takes. It doesn't matter to me. The only thing that matters to me, is it right? And if it's right, it must be done. I first learned of the treason taking place in this country and around the world when I discovered the plan named Majesty 12, and I recently did a broadcast covering that, and I'll do that again sometime this week so that those of you who may not have heard it, in fact, I'll do it tomorrow, can hear it again. I discovered this plan named Majesty 12 while a member of the intelligence briefing team and serving during my watches as Petty Officer of the Watch in the command center of Admiral Bernard Clary, who at that time was the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. The plan, ladies and gentlemen, outlined the implementation of all of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, which began, by the way, with the graduated so-called income tax administered by the fiction known as the Internal Revenue Service. Now, if you don't believe it's a fiction, just stay tuned, because I'm going to prove it to you. And you can check everything that I'm going to tell you today, and you'll find out that I'm 100% correct. If you want a shortcut, go to our web pages. Points you in the right direction, gives you the documentation, the sources, all of that. Our web page is harvest-trust.org. harvest-trust.org. Everything that I'm going to tell you in this broadcast is on those web pages and more. In fact, I've always said you could spend weeks on our web pages and never get through it all. And I was told today by Nolan Udall that you could spend months on my web pages and never get through it all. So it's between weeks and months, and I guess it depends on how much time you can devote to it. It also included the outline of the disarmament of the American people through laws instigated by a series of terrorist acts, the formation of a world police force made up of the United Nations force known as NATO, combined with the military forces of the United States and the members of the United Nations force known as the Warsaw Pact, which you used to always think belonged to the Soviet Union. NATO and the Warsaw Pact were both formed under the auspices of the United Nations Charter and were controlled by the Security Council of the United Nations. The Cold War was a scam. Look it up yourself if you don't believe it. The plan was also outlined, and I'm talking about the disarmament plan and the combination of the NATO forces with the Warsaw Pact and the military forces of the United States, was outlined in State Department Publication 7277, which can be found in its total state on our web pages. It also documented the intent to demonize and target patriots and so-called tax protesters through an operation called Project Trojan Horse, and much, much, much more. We have been documenting, ladies and gentlemen, and sourcing the facts of this plan since 1988, publicly, I've actually been doing it since I left the Navy in December of 1975. We've documented in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, my radio broadcast, which you're listening to, The Hour of the Time, and our full-size national newspaper, Veritas, and the book, Oklahoma City Day One, and then many, many hundreds and hundreds of lectures and speaking engagements throughout the nation and the world. I'm one of the few people who have been honored to speak at Wembley in London, a place where kings and queens and popes and presidents speak. I have made over 150 predictions, over 150 predictions. There's so many that I can't keep track of the actual number, but they're all written down and they're all recorded on the tapes of these broadcasts in my book and in tapes of lectures that I've made all over the place. It's documented, ladies and gentlemen. It can be proven. I have made over 150 predictions of coming major world events since 1988 based upon the information that I've just told you about, supplemented by many years of research. And I have only been wrong one time. If you had any money to bet on my predictions, and you'd bet on every one of them on my side, you'd probably be one of the wealthiest people in the world by now. If you had just taken that knowledge and put it into use before the predictions came to pass, you could not only be one of the most wealthiest people in the world, but you also could have been one of the most controlling people in the world, and thank God you did not do that, because then I'd have to start digging up the dirt on you. The Illuminati socialist president of the United States of America, William Jefferson Clinton, wrote in a White House memo, ladies and gentlemen, quote, "William Cooper is the most dangerous radio host in America," end quote. The Illuminati's Rush Limbaugh read the memo on his so-called Excellence in Broadcasting Network in 1995 following the bombing of the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in a cowardly effort to redirect the socialist attack on so-called right-wing radio hosts away from himself and on to me. And for all these years, he's been touting himself as the most dangerous radio host in America. My FBI record, ladies and gentlemen, my record on file with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which was initiated, by the way, not from some criminal activity, but by the investigation required by my secret security clearance while in the United States Air Force and my top secret Q sensitive information security clearance while in the United States Navy. My file was one of those found in possession of the White House during the scandal known as Filegate. President Clinton ordered that all agencies of government begin an investigation naming us, that's me and my wife Annie, enemies of the administration and domestic terrorists. And the only thing we've ever done is tell the truth. Since when, ladies and gentlemen, is telling the truth terrorism in this country? The old Soviet Union, yes. Castro's Cuba, yes. And a lot of other countries, yes, but not in the United States of America. Telling the truth has always been expected. We're supposed to teach our children to tell the truth. Now, in our schools, the teachers are telling our children that it's okay to lie. If you don't believe me, start asking your children some questions and you'll find out that what you think they're teaching in school isn't what's being taught at all. After 14 issues of Veritas, our national newspaper, which exposed, documented, and sourced the facts of the treason and the fraud of the so-called income tax administered by the so-called Internal Revenue Service, after a series of 8 broadcasts exposing the Anti-Defamation League as a criminal and subversive organization, and our publication of the scathing expose, Oklahoma City Day One, by Michelle Marie Moore, the government and the Anti-Defamation League ordered their puppets to go after us with the intent of shutting us up for good. United States Attorney General Janet Reno, the butcher of Waco, remember her, ordered the Nazi Gestapo to go after us, which immediately launched investigations, all during the same week by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Internal Revenue Service, the Financial Crimes Network, and many, many others. Reno also ordered her Phoenix-based puppet, United States Attorney Janet Napolitano, to shut us up. She hasn't been successful so far, but may be in the near future. Our investigation demonstrates that Janet Reno, Phoenix-based United States Attorney Janet Napolitano, Assistant United States Attorney Weinrip, and Special Agent Frank Shupnik, and possibly Judge Irwin, are all members of the Anti-Defamation League. Shupnik and Weinrip have been the most persistent and subversive of the law in their relentless persecution of this family. When the government began its investigation, read persecution of this family, we began a series of Freedom of Information Act requests, known as FOIA, which along with our and others' legal research, ladies and gentlemen, revealed that they had no authority whatsoever to conduct such an investigation. We documented it in the law. It is fact. In fact, it once again confirmed that the federal government has no authority or federal jurisdiction within the territorial boundaries of any state of the union whatsoever, except on property purchased by the government where jurisdiction has been ceded to the federal government by the state's legislature and over only those specific crimes enumerated in the Constitution for the United States of America. Now, I hope you understood what I just said. There's only one exception, and that is extraterritorial jurisdiction brought about by treaties with foreign nations, such as the Crown of England, Germany, whoever, concerning their citizens and what their citizens can do in this country and what we could do in their country and that kind of thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I and my wife Annie are not citizens of any foreign government. We're not subjects of the Crown of England or Great Britain. We're not subjects of the Queen of England or Great Britain or any other country, not Germany, not France, not Bolivia, not any of them. Annie is a citizen of the nation of Taiwan. If you think this is far-fetched, be forewarned that these people, ladies and gentlemen, people who are subject to these treaties from foreign countries, are noted in the Internal Revenue Manual as being subject to the tax. My research has confirmed, and was confirmed, when I found the following quote by Supreme Court Justice Fields. Now listen very carefully. This is a quote by a Supreme Court Justice, Justice Fields. The power of the United States to tax is limited to persons, property, and business within their jurisdiction as much as that of a state is limited to the same subjects within its jurisdiction. Now, that probably doesn't make much sense to you until you do a legal search for jurisdiction cases in the state courts, the circuit courts, the United States District Courts, which are the same, by the way, and the United States Supreme Court, when you will find that the states have no jurisdiction on federal property, that's Washington, D.C., territories, insular possessions, dockyards, forts, and property that was purchased by the federal government from the states, but which has also been ceded to the federal government by the state legislature. If it has not been ceded, the federal government has no jurisdiction, even though it may own the land. Wow. So states have no jurisdiction on federal property or federal land that has been ceded to the federal government by the legislature of the state. And the United States government has no jurisdiction within the territorial boundaries of any state whatsoever. How about that? Unless, of course, they've purchased land which the state legislature has ceded the jurisdiction to the federal government. If that has not occurred, there is no jurisdiction by the federal government. And I can prove every statement I'm saying. The federal case sites are on our webpage, harvest-trust.org. Go there. You'll find every one of them. And by the way, there are hundreds of them, so
get ready to spend a lot of time. What you'll learn will literally amaze you. I sent a copy of all of this to Sheriff Art Lee Saturday, I believe. He should be well into it by now. He will be amazed. He can now kick federal agents out of his county, Apache County, and be 100% right. Something you guys never knew. You see, you can give jurisdiction voluntarily. For instance, the other day when the federal marshal came to my home, I could have invited him in and allowed him to do whatever he wanted to do if I was a sheeple. Instead, I understood his lack of jurisdiction and ordered him off the property. He said, "I do have jurisdiction. I do have authority." I said, "No, you don't, and you're trespassing. Get off my property now." And he did. He went and stood in the middle of the road. And then I asked him, "If you have jurisdiction and authority, why are you standing in the middle of the road?" He had no answer. He held up the papers and said, "What am I supposed to do with this?" I told him that those papers were made out to a legal fiction to be served in a fictional jurisdiction, which did not exist. Therefore, I recommended that he go find the legal fiction and serve those papers in the fictional jurisdiction on that legal fiction, and not to ever come back. And he left. Years ago, ladies and gentlemen, many years ago, I discovered that the Internal Revenue Service is not an agency of the Department of the Treasury or the federal government. You see, most of you don't know that all agencies of the federal government must be listed in the organizational structure in the United States Code of the Department of Government to which they belong. I discovered that the Internal Revenue Service is not an agency of the Department of the Treasury or the federal government. How do I know this? It's very simple, folks. I went through the entire United States Code to the organizational table of every single department of the United States government, and it is not listed as required by law in the United States Code under the organization of the Department of the Treasury, nor is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or the Secret Service, nor are any of these bogus agencies listed in the United States Code as agencies of any other branch of government. These agencies are, in fact, fictions with fictional jurisdictions and only deal with fictional people. Now, you can't figure out how that happens. Well, I don't have enough time to teach you that, folks, but it's true. And if you begin to wake up and start studying, as I have and many others have studied, and begin to learn the truth about the law, you'll also find out that it's true. And then, folks, I discovered the reason why. You see, the United States Supreme Court in Brushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company, you see, all of those are agencies, they say, of the Department of the Treasury. Yet they're not listed in the organizational table of the Department of the Treasury. I discovered why. The United States Supreme Court in Brushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company had already ruled back in the early part of this century that the federal income tax was void because Congress had unconstitutionally delegated legislative power to the Secretary of the Treasury to write the law and create the agencies concerning the administrative and enforcement procedures of all of these three agencies that don't exist. Because, you see, the Constitution does not allow Congress to delegate its legislative authority to the executive branch of government to legislate anything. And it was the Secretary of the Treasury or his agent, the Commissioner of Internal Revenue or the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, who created these agencies with the stroke of a pen out of thin air without anything to do with Congress. That's why they're not listed. That's why they're fictions. They are unconstitutional. And so is the income tax.
So are the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms laws in their entirety, and so is the Secret Service. The United States Supreme Court in Brushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company had already ruled the federal income tax void because Congress had unconstitutionally delegated legislative power to the Secretary of the Treasury to write the law concerning the administrative and enforcement procedures. It was a blatant and unconstitutional breach of the separation of powers, and in any case, the Constitution does not grant Congress the ability to delegate its powers to anyone or anything or any entity. That is why there are so many lies and so much subterfuge involved in the administration and enforcement of the taxes by the so-called Internal Revenue Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and who knows what the Secret Service does. I sure don't, besides protect the president. Has something to do with the counterfeiting laws. But I haven't ever studied them. In fact, I had no idea that they would even come up in any of this until I began to search for the legality and the lawfulness of the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We published several stories revealing, headline stories, revealing the results of our research into the history of and the laws concerning the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We also published a lawful public notice, which many of you have seen, in issues number 14, number 15, and number 16 of Veritas National Newspaper, which enumerated certain facts discovered in Dan Meadows and my research. The law, ladies and gentlemen, allows us to presume the content of the public notice to be presumed facts, since neither the Internal Revenue Service or the United States government has ever denied any of the facts thus presented, published as legal public notices three times in three separate issues of Veritas. You see, it's not so hard. Now they want us bad.
light of all that I have told you so far, ladies and gentlemen, we filed FOIA requests asking the IRS, that's the Internal Revenue Service, for specific documents which specifically require us to file and pay the so-called income tax. They could not and did not produce any such documentation, but instead sent me a copy of an old 1040 which I had filed before I understood what a 1040 form really was and before I had mustered the guts to stop filing based upon the information I had seen in Majesty 12 and from my research which verified that the tax is in fact a criminal fraud against the American people. The implication was that the 1040s which I had filed in the past was their only authority. Their only authority. You see, the law says when you submit a Freedom of Information Act request, they must furnish the exact documents that you specifically request, or they must tell you that no such document exists, or they must give you a reason under the law, and there are several reasons under the law why they cannot furnish you with such documentation. Well, they furnished me with the document that they claim was their authority. In other words, since I had signed the form stating that I was a taxpayer when I didn't know that I wasn't under the fraud, they take that as volunteering to pay the income tax. And that's what they mean by the voluntary income tax. You've all heard them say that many times. The interpretation of the Internal Revenue Service was that since I had filed previously, it was an admission that I was required to file. Hitler, Adolf Hitler, would have loved that kind of reasoning. We also filed Freedom of Information Act requests asking the Internal Revenue Service for specific documents which gave the Internal Revenue Service the authority to conduct an investigation of a citizen of the state of Arizona. The Internal Revenue Service could not and did not produce any such documentation. We noticed Special Agent Shupnik and Assistant United States Attorney Weinrip by mail to produce their credentials and documentation of their authority to conduct such an investigation. Guess what? They're required by law to furnish their credentials and authority when asked. They refused. Why did they refuse, ladies and gentlemen? Because they cannot, because no such documents exist. We then learned through friends on the inside who were helping us of a secret agreement between the individual states of the Union and the Internal Revenue Service. It took us a long time to find out how to get a copy, but we got a copy. We obtained an unredacted copy. Most people get a copy that's redacted because they don't want you to be able to read it. Redacted means they take and line out with heavy black ink anything they don't want you to read. Well, it's not a classified document, has nothing to do with national security, and is supposed to be able to available to the public. Well, we obtained an unredacted copy and found that it is, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, an agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the individual state granting jurisdiction to the Internal Revenue Service to require federal employees who are state citizens and residents of the states to file and pay the so-called federal income tax. Did you hear what I just said? If they have jurisdiction, and if what they're doing is lawful, and they have the authority to require us to file and pay income taxes, why, ladies and gentlemen, do they have to have a special agreement with the individual states in order to require their own federal employees who do not live within federal jurisdiction to file and pay the income tax? No cession of jurisdiction over these people was granted by the state legislature as required by law. It was all done sneaky and secret by some state bureaucrat who arbitrarily, on their own, decide to go ahead with the agreement as proposed by the Internal Revenue Service.
If the so-called Internal Revenue Service has the jurisdiction and authority to require citizens and residents of the states to file and pay the so-called income tax, why do they have to have a special secret agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the states to tax their own federal employees who live and work outside the jurisdiction and authority of the United States government? Can you answer that? Of course you can't. Doesn't even make any sense, does it? We filed suit. We, Annie Mordhorst Cooper, my wife, and I, we filed suit against the United States government, the Internal Revenue Service, Attorney General Janet Reno, the United States Attorney for the District of Arizona, Janet Napolitano, and many others, demanding the court simply order the defendants to either produce the documentation that we had asked for through the Freedom of Information Act that allows the IRS to tax and or investigate a citizen of any state of the union, or admit that no such documentation exists, and several other points of law. It's a very simple suit, ladies and gentlemen. The law is clear. Freedom of Information Act is very clear. It tells them exactly what they have to do and how they have to do it, and how they can get out of doing it. And they won't do any of it. The suit has been active for almost 3 years, and the federal judge has refused to order the defendants to obey the law and produce their authority or admit that it does not exist. The attorney for the defendants, Katz, spelled K-A-T-Z, another ADL member, has slipped up and admitted in documents that he or she, I don't know if it's a he or she, because I've never seen that person, admitted in documents that he or she filed in this case with the court that no such documentation, thus no such authority, exists in the Phoenix District. Now, this suit is still awaiting adjudication in the United States District Court in Phoenix, Arizona. The government and the Anti-Defamation League wants us in prison or dead before the judge is forced to rule in our favor, as he must if he obeys the law. He can't get out of it. All he can do is just try and wait it out until they get us, or he's forced to rule. Recent experience throughout this country, ladies and gentlemen, tells us emphatically that the courts have been corrupted beyond belief and that the law is more than frequently ignored. People who work in courtrooms all the time tell me that the biggest liars who ever sit in court, listen to this, careful, this is what they tell me, court clerks, bailiffs, people who work within the court system, tell me that the biggest liars that ever appear in court is the prosecutor, police officers, and law enforcement people who testify, and judges. Now, number one would probably be defendants, because most defendants are probably criminals. But most criminals do not testify in court, if they're smart. And besides that, pro se litigants are all but ignored by federal judges who pass the cases to clerks to handle, and the judges usually wash their hands of the whole thing, don't want to mess with us non-lawyer types. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you and many people all across this nation know us very well. Very well. We have not committed any crime. We are not criminals. We are law-abiding, faithful and true citizens. But on June 18, 1998, a United States Marshal came to the Trust headquarters in Eager, Arizona, to serve a summons for criminal trial in U.S. District Court in Phoenix, Arizona, on the legal fictions known as the names of my wife and I, all spelled in capital letters, in the fictional jurisdiction in which the marshal stood, which is not the lawful jurisdiction. Big difference. We told him that we are not the legal fictions named in the summons and ordered him off the trust property. I told him that he was trespassing and that he had no federal jurisdiction or authority within the territorial boundaries of the state of Arizona. He knew it. He knew I was right, and he obeyed me without any problems whatsoever. I wasn't armed. And folks, I'm no spring chicken anymore. If he wanted to subdue me with physical force, he probably could have done it. If he had authority and or jurisdiction, why did he not serve the papers and why did he obey my order that he get off trust property immediately? Why did he stand in the middle of the road and why did he not respond to my question that if you have jurisdiction and authority, why did you obey me? Why are you standing in the road? And why did he leave when I told him to leave? Ladies and gentlemen, it's because I'm right. You see, most people would never think of that. Most people don't understand what the law is, and they volunteer to be served or to go to jail or be tried or all of these other things that are done unlawfully all over this country every single day. Most of you don't know that when the Internal Revenue Service seizes property, and you think that they have placed a lien on that property and can do it by law, that no lien has been executed, no lien has been made, no due process has been forthcoming, no judge has issued any order, period. There is no lien, in fact. They go to your county recorder and they record a notice of lien when, in fact, no such lien exists. It's a fraud. You see, to get a lien on someone's property, you must go to court. And the person upon whose property you intend to levy must be notified of the date to appear in court to defend him or herself under the American legal system. The Internal Revenue Service never does that. They just make out a piece of paper, says notice of lien, take it down to your county recorder, file it, take it over to Mr. Sheriff, who doesn't know beans from anybody else because he was just one of us before he got elected too. Might be a great guy, might be a great sheriff, but he doesn't know. And so they give him the recorded instrument from the county recorder's office, and the sheriff goes out with the Internal Revenue Service agent and takes your property. If it's within a city, the city policemen do it with the Internal Revenue Service agent, not knowing they're helping him to steal your property unlawfully and illegally. Well, since no service was made, ladies and gentlemen, the court can take no action against us if the court obeys the law. But as we discovered with Waco, Texas, Ruby Ridge, and many other federal atrocities, the federal courts seldom obey the law. In fact, the marshal yelled at me from the road that if we did not appear in federal court in Phoenix, Arizona on July 1st, 1998, a warrant will be issued for our arrest. Well, they can issue whatever they want. We will not appear as the court has no jurisdiction or authority over us as citizens of Arizona, and we will not allow an arrest to occur. We will stand and fight the Gestapo with all the means at our disposal. We will not be like the Jews of Europe or the Gypsies or the Poles or anyone else and gather our little belongings and march off peacefully to the boxcars, which will then carry us off to some labor camp prison somewhere. And in case you think I'm exaggerating, that's exactly what our prisons have become. Labor camps. And it's going to go more and more in that direction until we reach a point where prisons manufacturing goods and services with slave labor will completely do away with small business. You think China's competition, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, but we will fight with all the means at our disposal any assault which may be mounted upon our property or persons. And our children will remain with us. They are not shields, as our enemies will claim, any more than children have been shields for families which have been attacked by despotism throughout history. You see, I've watched as some of you have let the Department of Children's Services, or whatever you call them, come to your door and steal your children right from under your eyes. You claim you love your children and you let them take them. No one takes my children but over my dead body. Allowing our children to disappear into the immoral and destructive government child care and foster molestation home industry run by the mind-controlling bogus psychology profession, only to be abused and sexually assaulted for many years, is a fate worse than death. And we simply will not allow such a thing to happen to our precious little girls. And you can call us whatever you want because of it. That's the reason, and that's the facts of it. The people in government today are morally bankrupt. In fact, they are Nazi jackbooted thugs of the worst SS Hitler stormtrooper type that ever lived upon the face of this earth. They have no ethics, morals, or respect for life, property, religion, or the law. The Nazis were socialists, and socialists are Nazis. Socialists are in complete control of the government of the United States of America right now, this moment, as I speak. Now, please understand and remember that we are not anti-government. We are not radical. We are not extremists. We are not fundamentalists. We're not crazy. We're not suicidal or anything else that we may be called, and believe me, we are going to be called a lot of names because they must demonize us in order to murder us. And that's the whole point of the thing. Whether we're arrested and thrown into prison and murdered in prison or murdered here where we stand, it doesn't make any difference. We will be murdered if they have their way. We are intelligent, law-abiding, reasonable people who have drawn our line in the sand. Our enemy will attempt to demonize us in order to obtain the public's permission to murder our whole family, just as they did the Weaver family and the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. I was sickened. I never thought I would hear so-called Christians whose ancestors fled the old world to escape religious persecution say, and I quote, "The Branch Davidians deserved what they got. They were just a bunch of religious fanatics," end quote. But I heard so-called Christians say exactly that over and over and over and over again, and they're still saying it today. My wife and I are not criminals. We're not child molesters. We're not bank robbers. We're not child abusers. We're not wife beaters or husband beaters or any other label that may be applied. If we are found dead, it will never be because we committed suicide. It will be cold-blooded murder, just as they have done in the past, just as they did at Ruby Ridge, the World Trade Center, Waco, and the Oklahoma City bombing. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we are pro-government, lawful government, lawful constitutional Republican government as guaranteed to us in the Constitution for the United States of America. We know what the government is, and we know what the government is not. We know that the Constitution for the United States of America constitutes the lawful government, and anything or anyone outside its strictures, limits, and powers is operating unlawfully and are, in fact, outlaws. Traitors, if you will. We know that the Constitution was not penned by a bunch of doddering old men over 200 years ago who did not understand the complexities of the modern age. The Constitution was produced by the greatest collection of geniuses who have ever lived. It is the living supreme law of our land. It provides within the document itself the provisions for us to make any changes that we may deem necessary. And only a very few changes, known as amendments, have ever been made. Those changes are deletions wished for by the socialist communist Illuminati, have been rejected by the American people. And that fact necessitates the demonization of the Constitution and all of us who support it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have served my government all my life. All of my life I have served my government. I have never done anything else.
I have been a member of the United States Air Force and the United States Navy. I served in two military branches of our country's military forces. I am a combat veteran of the Vietnam War. I fought as a river patrol boat captain in Vietnam, and I earned medals with the V for Valor. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I can assure you that I intend to fulfill that oath until the day I die and after, if that is possible. What I have included in this broadcast is by no means the entirety of our legal position. It's barely the beginning. Only a few facts and questions that should get you thinking. We'll attempt to include much more through links from our web pages, which is harvest-trust.org. Now, folks, we hope to win this battle, although the odds in history tell us that we won't. If we win, then all America wins. If we lose, the subversive Illuminati socialists in government and the Anti-Defamation League will lose big time, and I mean they will lose even if they win. You see, we're not afraid. I have engaged and fought better troops than any of the techno-spoiled brats they can or will ever field against us. Doesn't mean we're going to win. But I guarantee you, somebody's going to get hurt. In any case, whatever happens, we as a family will be free. Now you figure that out. And due to the sheer volume of our work that is in public hands, we will never, ever be forgotten. I can assure you that. You see, we'll be free if we win, and we'll be freer than any of you. And if we die in the process, we will still be freer than any of you. And it makes me very sad to know that all of you will still be enslaved by tyrants and despotism in a totalitarian socialist New World Order. And it really stinks, too. Unless you also draw your line and take your stand to fight the last battle for liberty and freedom, which is coming up shortly. And oh, I almost forgot, folks. If they need a negotiator to resolve the situation, send Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz. I would just love to see him coming up the hill to try and talk us to come down. Please, oh, please send me that Trojan horse. And in the meantime, for those of you who understand what I'm going to say next, please pray for us. And keep going back to our web pages, which is harvest-trust.org. We will keep it updated, adding information, documenting, and sourcing our position within the law and the corrupted Illuminati puppets' despotic and tyrannical disregard and contempt for the law. And who knows? You may even become awakened and join the fight for liberty and freedom for all people, regardless of race, religion, or place of ancestral origin. That's exactly what we should all be striving for, to complete the circle. And now that we're off the international broadcast, good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Dragnet, their job to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager.
Oh, Larry.